It's the 1st of July, 1996, or should I say, it's the 1st of Glacier Month here on Reliving the War, where Glacier is definitely going to make his much-anticipated debut. WCW Nitro is live from Landover, Maryland, while the WWF show their first set of tape matches from Green Bay, Wisconsin. This'll be an interesting episode of Raw, as the company is putting a heavy focus on in-ring action, including two 15-minute matches. And over on Nitro, we have the final build-up towards the legendary Bash at the Beach 1996 pay-per-view, plus the potential debut of Glacier. Let's check out the first hour of Nitro and see what happened. Dallas Page interrupts Tony Schiavone and Larry Zbyszko during the show opening. Someone has stolen DDP's slambery Lord of the Ring ring, and DDP wants the whole building closed and he wants everyone strip searched. DDP says everyone is jealous of him and Page is on a mission to find his missing ring. Schiavone and Zbyszko then recap last week's main event and they ponder over who the mystery third man could be. Obviously it's Glacier. Put two and two together, lads. Glacier is coming in July. Mystery third man showing up at Bash at the Beach. It's Glacier, guys. Come on, use your heads. Our first match inside the ring saw the Steiners taking on Harlem Heat, and during this match, Colonel Robert Parker seemingly reunited with Booker T and Stevie Ray. Parker got involved in the match, helping Booker T score a pinfall win to retain the tag titles. The Four Horsemen watched the match from Flair's VIP section, and Mean Gene Okerlund announced that the Horsemen are in an 8-man tag tonight against the Rock and Roll Express, the Renegade, and Joe Gomez. Steve McMichael said money makes the monkey dance, and Mean Gene told Mongo that he doesn't want to talk about monkeys. Disco Inferno defeated Kurosawa in the next match. Disco wanted to do a little dancing before the bout, but he was interrupted by Kurosawa's entrance music. Towards the end of the match, an Elvis impersonator distracted Kurosawa, and Disco used his shiny disco ball to hit Kurosawa in the back, and Disco got the win. That's right, Kurosawa was taken out by a disco ball. Dallas Page then had a match with Scotty Riggs, but DDP's mind was elsewhere. He wanted his ring back. Even with this distraction, Page was still able to beat the American Male with the Diamond Cutter. Mean Gene interviewed DDP afterwards. Mean Gene wanted to talk about the taped fist match at Bash at the Beach, but Page just wants his ring back. He even tells Okerlund to empty his pockets, but Mean Gene threatens DDP with an attorney. Up next, we had the WCW return of Greg Valentine. The Hammer faced the Macho Man here, and this was Valentine's first match in WCW since October of 1992. The match was rushed though due to time constraints. At one point you can hear producers saying there's only 35 seconds left until hour 2 begins, and when this happens, Savage literally pops up and he hits the elbow drop for the win. Hour 2 then begins with the return of Eric Bischoff. Bischoff is glad to be back, but he sends a message to the Outsiders. Eric says that Kevin Nash didn't scare anyone at the Great American Bash, and Eric can't wait to see Team WCW destroy the Outsiders at Bash at the Beach. This was a good, varied first hour of Nitro, and there's a great sense of excitement heading into the pay-per-view. I'm giving the unopposed point to WCW. John Tenta gets a WCW title shot against the Giant on Nitro, while Raw kicks off with the Shawn Michaels vs. Marty Jannetty match that was hyped up last week. Shawn comes to the ring with Jose Lothario and the Click Cam, and the Click Cam seems way more valuable to the Heartbreak Kid. Vince McMahon has a massive chub for Shawn Michaels here. You guys know I'm an HBK fan, but I cringe so much at how Vince puts HBK over on commentary. It would actually turn fans away from Michaels. It's that bad. So the Rockers explode this week on Raw for the 20th time or something. But all that aside, history tells us that this will actually be a good match. I have high expectations. Leaf Cassidy and Jim Cornette are at ringside. Leaf is there to support Marty, and I guess Cornette is there to make life difficult for Shawn. The Rockers meet face to face in the ring and they talk a little trash. Jerry Lawler says these two have a lot of history and nobody knows Shawn Michaels better than Marty Jannetty. Marty brings Shawn to the corner after the initial lockup and he gives a clean break. Vince McMahon says it's Canada Day and he legit congratulates the whole country of Canada for their 129 year existence. Well done, Canada. Michaels gets thrown into the ropes and we get a leapfrog hip toss sequence that ends with both both men nipping up and staring at each other. It's like we're seeing double. This is just like WrestleMania 9, but with only one clown. Vince McMahon says, Sean and Marty have similar athletic skills, but Sean has done considerably more with his. Get the aloe vera out for that sick burn, McMahon. A headlock takedown by Jannetty gets countered with a grounded head scissors. Sean gets out of a backslide and clothesline attempt, and Marty gets frustrated in the corner. Marty replies with a few smooth arm drag takedowns, and Leaf Cassidy celebrates this offensive flurry on the outside. Never to be outdone, Sean comes back with a few Japanese arm drags and a dropkick that sends Marty to the outside. Marty gets some encouragement from Cornette and Cassidy. Sean then goes for the wrist inside the ring, but Marty delivers a big right hand to stop HBK in his tracks. Sean gets whipped into the corner, but Marty can't keep up the momentum. HBK comes back with an inverted atomic drop and a jumping clothesline. A top rope double axe handle follows, and Michaels then goes for sweet chin music. Leaf Cassidy pulls Marty out of the ring, and Sean hits Leaf with a baseball slide. This little diversion gives Marty a chance to attack from behind. Cornette and Marty distract the referee while Cassidy attacks Sean on the outside. Jose Lothario comes over, but he just stands there and watches. Fucking useless. Sean gets back inside the ring, and Marty is able to take the lead. A back body drop pleases both Marty and Cassidy as the opening match of Monday Night Raw continues. HBK gets dumped on the top rope just before we go to commercial break, and when we come back, Vince McMahon tells us that Marty has dominated this match so far. Sean fights his way out of a chin lock and he hits a running crossbody, but Marty fires back with a clothesline. Chinlock number 2 gets applied and Sean fights out of chinlock number 2. Sean hits the ring post shoulder first, but Marty is still unable to put HBK away. Marty goes for a Bronco Buster, but his little rockers get busted instead. HBK then goes for a monkey flip, but Marty lands on his feet and Sean takes another clothesline. So far, this has been pretty solid. A face crusher gives both men a chance to rest on the mat, and then HBK gets up and he delivers one of his most hard-hitting running forearms ever. This looked pretty snug, and there was a ton of speed in the run-up. There's also a ton of speed in the back for both men once they get done. Alright. Sean fires up and the crowd comes alive. Marty tries to protect himself from a dropkick, and Sean looks a little annoyed at how Marty took the move. I could be wrong here though. HBK goes for a powerbomb, Jannetty tries a Frankensteiner reversal, but Sean rolls through into a pin attempt. It only gets a 2 count, and Marty is then able to roll through from a flying crossbody, but again, it's only a 2 count. We come back from another commercial break, and Marty hits the rocker dropper before going to the top rope. A fist drop misses the mark, and Sean replies with a pile driver. We then see the Shawn Michaels elbow drop, and Sean hits sweet chin music to score the pinfall win. Leaf Cassidy takes a super kick after the bout too, and Jose Lothario punches Cornette in the face when Jim tries to blindside Sean. A great bout from WWF Raw, and it was nice to see a long match for a change. It's not the best Sean vs. Marty contest, but it's still a good match. The Outsiders have shown up on Monday Night Raw and they've bought tickets to sit in the arena. Kevin Nash and Scott Hall have even brought some snacks. And Kevin tells Doug Dillinger that they're there to see the big boys of WCW. Bobby Heenan is on edge, but Bischoff reminds his broadcast partner that Sting, Luger and Savage are all in the building, but the commentators are still concerned about this mystery third man. And then a video plays that says our world is about to change. Okay, so if they're still airing this video, then that means Glacier isn't arriving this week. But that's fine, we have the whole month of July, plus we have Bash at the Beach, where Glacier will probably get revealed as the mystery third man. And hey, because it's Glacier month, I want you guys to send me your best Glacier memes and artwork. Anything at all, send it to me via Twitter or the email address displayed on my Twitter page. And whatever makes me laugh the most will win some sort of prize. If I get enough entrants, then I'll show them next week on Reliving the War. Celebrate the legendary Glacier with me and you could get a cool... get it? Cool surprise in the mail. Okay, John Tanta has a chance to win the WCW Championship tonight on Nitro if he can overcome the Giant. Hall and Nash are watching this match closely, and the Giant starts the match by headbutting his opponent. Tanta tries to push his opponent back, but a few knife-edge chops sends the former Earthquake into the corner. Tenta fires up and a series of big haymakers brings the WCW champion into the corner, and Giant gets sent from turnbuckle to turnbuckle, and Tenta hits a big splash, but he isn't so lucky on his second attempt. A big clothesline from the Giant sends Tenta to the mat. As Giant dominates his opponent, Bischoff says that extra security has been brought in to keep an eye on Nash and Hall. The Giant then picks up Tenta and he hits a huge body slam with little effort. The Giant then chokes Tenta on the ropes, more punishment gets delivered in the corner, and this one has been incredibly slow. Tenta now just isn't getting in any offense at all, and even the outsiders couldn't care less about what's happening in the ring. Finally, Tenta gets a boot up when Giant dashes into the corner, and Giant takes a few clotheslines, but he won't go down. Tenta then hits a dropkick, and this sends the Giant crashing to the mat. This also got the crowd making a little noise. Jimmy Hart then gets dumped into the ring. The Taskmaster runs down to cause a distraction, and the Giant gets the win after a chokeslam. Absolutely brutal stuff here from WCW. The only thing notable was the dropkick from John Tenta. WWF Raw gets to the point. After the match, the Dungeon of Doom cut a promo. Big Bubba says that he and Tenta will have a Carson City Silver Dollar match. It's a sock full of silver dollars on a pole match, and the Giant and Kevin Sullivan are booked into a bout with Chris Benoit and Arn Anderson. Kevin Sullivan tries to cut a promo, but he keeps getting distracted by the outsiders at ringside. The WWF shows some clips from last week's Superstars. Sonny got Phineas Godwin to say that he loves her before taking a hard slap to the face. The Smoking Guns attacked Phineas, Henry and Hillbilly Jim went after Billy and Bart, and Sonny ended up getting slopped by Phineas. I've nothing here. Moving on, the Outsiders are causing some problems on Nitro, and Jim Duggan cuts a promo while the World Wrestling Federation presents Mankind vs. Duke the Dumpster Drosy. This would be Duke's final match on WWF Raw. He'd make another few appearances on Superstars, but the legendary Hall of Fame worthy Garbage Man was now pretty much done with the WWF. Jake Roberts is providing commentary for this match. The King of the Ring runner-up will face Mankind at In Your House International Incident. Roberts says he can look at Mankind and he can see the pain that Mick Foley is feeling. Okay then. Foley and the Dumpster trade punches to start things off, and Mankind brings his opponent into the corner. Mankind punishes Duke as Jerry Lawler asks Jake Roberts if he's only there because the bar's closed. Nice. We come back from a commercial break and the Dumpster is trying and failing to get in some offense as Jerry Lawler continues mocking Roberts. Jerry says that Roberts was drinking from a brown paper bag during the commercial, and Jerry wants to know how many Mankinds Roberts can currently see in the ring. Foley continues destroying Duke on the outside, and when they get back in the ring, Mankind applies an armbar. Jerry says that when Jake Roberts sweats, he becomes a fire hazard, and the hits just keep coming from the King. A spinebuster from Duke Drosy hits hard, Duke follows up with a sleeper, and Mankind breaks it by ramming his opponent into the corner. Duke gets a boot up and a clothesline follows. The Dumpster then goes for a bear hug, but Mankind counters with the mandible claw. It's all over, Foley gets the win. Stick with me though, we've got some gold coming up. Lawler continues to mock Roberts at the commentary table, and Jerry Lawler slaps Jake twice. Take a look at this absolute psychopath in the audience first of all. That boy is having a great time, and the sneaky bastard even gives us the finger. And then take a look at Jake's reaction the first time he gets slapped. I don't know what it is, but this made me laugh so hard when I watched it around 50 times this morning. And then here's a screenshot that captures everything perfectly. Jake's face, the fucked up fan who's been drinking the Jannetty juice, and Vince McMahon down here in shock. Amazing. Roberts ends up choking Lawler, Mankind then comes out and Jake takes the mandible claw, and the segment comes to an end. Again, it's not the in-ring action that entertains on Raw. A Rey Mysterio highlight reel begins playing on Nitro, but the video gets cut off. The Outsiders are moving around in the crowd and they have a live microphone. Nash says that the takeover is happening a little early, and Scott Hall says, "Look, Donny Osmond has come back," in regards to Eric Bischoff. The Outsiders try to approach the announce desk, but security rushes in and Hall and Nash are kept at bay. Luger, Sting and Savage show up, and the outsiders laugh at their face paint. Within moments, the whole WCW locker room comes out to get the outsiders out of the building. This was some great stuff. Rivalries had been thrown out the window. Heels and babyfaces of WCW are standing together to get these two out of the building. Bischoff and Heenan look concerned as Nash and Hall continue to taunt the whole WCW roster. The crowd begin chanting Diesel as Hall and Nash leave. Heenan says the outsiders may be gone, but what about the third guy? He could be anywhere right now. And Eric Bischoff reiterates the fact that Team WCW is ready for Bash at the Beach. Again, good stuff here. The use of different camera angles and everyone banding together really made this feel different. You have to give it to Bischoff and WCW for trying this, and really, they are totally knocking it out of the park. After a commercial break, Mean Gene interviews Jim Duggan, and what do you know, Hacksaw went for a shit earlier and he found DDP's ring on the floor. DDP shows up and he wants his ring back. Page calls Duggan a thief, but Jim says he just found the ring, he didn't steal it. Duggan drops the ring on the floor, and when Page goes to pick it up, Duggan quickly wraps his fist and Page gets leveled. Absolutely ridiculous stuff, but still funny. Nitro gets the point here. Lawler's brutal mockery of Jake Roberts was fantastic, but Nitro was slightly better. Actually, you know what? It's a point for both shows. Feeling generous today. And just like that, it's main event time. Mark Merrow versus Goldust on Raw, and we have an 8-man tag on Nitro. The Four Horsemen versus Joe Gomez, The Renegade, and The Rock and Roll Express. This kind of feels like the last time the Four Horsemen would walk into the ring as WCW's most dominating stable. Things are going to change after next week, and the Horsemen would soon become targets of the new world order. Ricky Morton and Arn Anderson start this one off, and I'm not going to go through every tag and every moment here. It becomes messy and a bit boring for you guys, so I'll go over what happens with a little less detail. Within moments, the match breaks down and a giant brawl breaks out between the eight men. The Horsemen get out of the ring to regroup, and then we have Flair and Morton for a little while. I just want to see Mongo in the ring, to be honest. Morton hits a Frankensteiner and we see a double dropkick from The Rock and Roll. Chris Benoit gets a great ovation from the audience when Arn Anderson tags him in a little later, and the Crippler does a little work inside the ropes with Robert Gibson. Benoit mainly sold for his opponent here. The Renegade takes an absolute kicking from Chris Benoit in the Horseman's corner, and then Ric Flair sells for Joe Gomez, and I mean, Flair bounced around the ring for Gomez, someone who many would say didn't belong in a WCW main event. Chris Benoit gets extremely aggressive with Gomez, and then it happens. Mongo gets tagged in. Here we go. McMichael starts things off with a big clubbing blow to the back, and Mongo throws his opponent to the mat. A few slaps to the face, another club to the back, and then Mongo tags out. Even the audience boos here. We all want to see Mongo completely fuck this up, but he's playing it safe for now. The other horsemen take turns at punishing Gomez. Anderson hits the spinebuster, but all three babyfaces run in to break up the pin attempt. A backslide attempt from Gomez looks a little dodgy, but Benoit kicks out. Chris then tells Gomez how shit he truly is before Flair gets back in the ring. Gomez needs to tag out, but the horsemen keep cutting him off. Bischoff says that it looks like we're not going to find out who the third man is tonight, but we will know by the end of Bash at the Beach. Mongo is back in the ring, and his power slam looks absolutely fine, and so does his follow-up elbow drop. Man, Mongo is doing pretty okay tonight, and I'm not happy about it. I think the other horsemen were expecting him to do more, though. Steve goes back to his corner, and he looks a little nervous. Both Arn and Flair offer to tag in, and Double A is like, yeah, okay then, I guess I'm carrying your sorry ass tonight as well. The Renegade then comes into the ring and he cleans house. Mongo just stands there as the other horsemen sacrifice themselves for this match. And then Renegade goes to the top rope and... I guess, in Mongo's defense, Renegade shouldn't have jumped until Mongo actually hit him, but Mongo just throwing the briefcase definitely adds to the comedy here. Good work, lads. Flair then locks in the figure four and the Horsemen get the win. The disappointment oozing out of Mongo McMichael can be felt through our TV screens afterwards. It's absolutely wild. Mean Gene interviews the Horsemen afterwards. Okerlund says if Benoit and Anderson defeat Sullivan and the Giant at Bash at the Beach, then Benoit and Anderson will get a title shot against the Giant next week on Nitro. I'm not sure how that works, but well, Arn Anderson says the Taskmaster has lit a fire in Benoit, and we saw some of that fire tonight on Nitro. Flair then puts over Benoit by calling him silent but deadly. Yeah. Miss Elizabeth, Deborah, and Woman say that they're going to be in Daytona this weekend. And that's it. Mongo and Renegade's marvellous botch aside, the Nitro main event wasn't great this week. You'd think the Horseman and an 8-man tag is going to be special, and, well, yeah, it was special alright. Nitro ends with Bischoff and Heenan wondering why the third man hasn't been announced yet, and Bischoff gets word that there's some commotion outside. Security are removing the outsiders from the building and Nash and Hall are resisting. The show comes to an end with the outsiders getting brought to their car, and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall say they'll see us in Daytona before driving off into the night. Goldust vs. Little Richard then on WWF Raw. Steve Austin is going to provide commentary for this one, and he's got his eyes on Mark Merrow. Austin vs. the Wild Man is going to take place at International Incident. Austin and McMahon have their very first argument on TV here when Austin tells Vince not to cut him off. Stone Cold says that his fat lip will look nothing compared to Vince's if McMahon doesn't shut up. The initial lockup results in both competitors rolling around the ropes. Goldust gets a little aggressive, but Merrow fires back with a shaky crossbody. Merrow wins Goldust with an uppercut, and Goldust gets out of the ring to catch his breath. Vince says you never know what Merrow is going to do, and Austin says Merrow doesn't even know what he's going to do because he's stupid. The match restarts and Goldust applies a headlock. The two men then trade arm drags and Goldust gets dropkicked out of the ring. Goldust again takes a breather on the outside and we go to commercial break. We come back and Merrow has the upper hand on the outside, but Goldust turns it around inside the ropes. A big clothesline takes out Merrow and Marlena looks on as Goldust applies a chin lock. Merrow fights out and Goldust hits a knee to the midsection. We go to the outside once again and Merrow gets his head drilled into the steel steps. Marlena is now watching over Sable and Merrow as Goldust poses in the ring. This match just isn't getting started at all, and it feels really boring. Goldust isn't playing up to his strengths at all, and Merrow is just going through the motions. Thankfully, Steve Austin is providing some good commentary, and it's interesting seeing this Stone Cold character begin to really take form. Austin again gets pissed off with McMahon putting Merrow over on commentary, and Stone Cold says he's fixing to punch McMahon right in the nose. Merrow and Goldust totally mess up a victory road sequence as the match continues on. Goldust grabs another chin lock as we take our last commercial break, and thank God I actually feel tired watching this match. We come back and the competitors are still on the mat. Merrow gets up and he misses an elbow drop. Goldust punishes Merrow by slapping him in the face, and then Vince McMahon wishes Bret Hart a happy birthday. So Bret Hart's birthday is one day after Canada Day. A camel clutch from Goldust gets reversed with an electric chair drop. Merrow then hits a power slam, but again Merrow fails to keep momentum. A double clothesline takes both men out, and then Marlena begins approaching Sable. Sable tries to ignore Marlena, but it isn't working. Merrow is beginning to finally build momentum, but he gets distracted by what's going on outside. Marlena blows cigar smoke in Sable's face, and Goldust takes this opportunity to hit the curtain call. Thank God this is over. Fundamentally, the match had no real issues, but there was a real lack of excitement here. There's just no heat whatsoever. Goldust completely ditched his character for some reason. I just don't know what happened, but this wasn't good. Mongo's magical briefcase gets the final point of the week, somehow. Nitro wins this week's Reliving the War. Raw started off pretty strong with their opening match, but they ended in a bad state. Makes you wonder why HBK vs. Jannetty wasn't put into the main event spot. Nitro is simply on fire right now though, and it's really fun watching everything unfold over these past few weeks. Nitro leads our overall scoreboard with 20 points, Raw has 14 points, and we've had 5 ties. Nitro also won in the television ratings, a 3.3 to Raw's 2.6. And so, from next week, it all changes. We'll have the Bash at the Beach results to kick off next week's show, And we'll also welcome the New World Order to Reliving the War. Remember to send me your best Glacier artwork and memes for a chance to win some sort of mystery prize. And I'll see you all next week.